Thank you for joining us today for this gospel message. I want you to know that if you'd like to take the communion with me, stay tuned after today's lesson and we'll be taking the communion together. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. So good to be with you this morning on the greatest day the Lord has ever made, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. It's the day the Lord came out of the grave. It's the day the Lord has decided for His church to meet together and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's so good to be part of God's family, where you're loved and where you love. This morning's sermon is titled, Quit Your Worrying. Let's open up our Bibles together, first to the book of Psalms, chapter 39, and verse number 3. Psalms 39:3. The Bible says, My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. And then our next scripture is Psalms 63, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Next we have Psalms 104, beginning with verse number 33. Psalms 104, 33. The Bible says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You know, as we're contemplating this negative and really devilish subject of worrying, we need to take account in the fact that worry is real. The devil uses it as a tool to take his people away from his heart. Worry is time-consuming. It's problematic. It keeps so many people stuck. So many folks, including some even in the church, are full of anxiety. And it affects your health. And it's actually counterproductive to the life that God wants you to have, an abundant life, a life full of peace and harmony, a life free from worry and anxiety. But we must understand that regardless, worry is going to happen. So what can we do when worry comes? Let me encourage you this morning to read God's promises. And while you're reading His promises, meditate upon God's character. You see, worry really is a prayer to a false god. And the cure for it is the knowledge of the true God. The Bible teaches us that God loves us. I'm going to read for you 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Here is God's word. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the satisfaction for our sins. The cure for worry is the knowledge that God loves us, and also that God cannot lie to us. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The next scripture we have is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. We need to learn as God's people to cast our cares upon Him in the full assurance that God cares for us and will take care of our problems. We need to meditate on His promises, meditate on the assurance and His security in keeping His promises. We need to meditate on who God is and what He has done. And this, brothers and sisters in Christ, is medicine for a worried soul. Let us learn to meditate upon what we have gleaned from God's Word. You see, we need to learn to have thoughts of faith and not of worry. God has not left us without instruction about what He wants. God wants us to meditate. Meditate upon what is good. Meditate upon what is right. Meditate upon what is wholesome. Meditate upon what is positive. You see, the book of Psalms tells us that meditation upon what is good and right and wholesome and positive can rekindle the fire of my spirit. That meditation upon what is good and right and wholesome and positive can satisfy my soul. The Bible teaches that meditation upon what is good and right and wholesome and positive can make me a glad person. And that's what we need really in the church, is a lot more folks who have their spirits rekindled, their souls satisfied, and their faces glad. You know, it's interesting that the word meditate is only used 2 times in the New Testament. Once in Luke 21 and another in 1 Timothy 4. And it means to attend to or imagine. It could also mean to discuss with yourself. You see, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. And so what it really means is be constantly careful about these things, or give yourself wholly to them. You could say that when he says meditate upon God's positive word, he is saying be in these things or be absorbed by them. What is good and right and wholesome and positive, be surrounded by it. What is good and right and wholesome and positive, be soaked in it. We really are what we think. And meditating upon all of those good and great things that God has blessed us with is so important. Another thing we need to learn to do is to reduce our desires to what we need instead of always about what we want. There's some things that we need, and God will provide those for us. And all of these wants, we need to reduce those. Maybe we'll have a little less worry. A lot of folks running around all the time about what they want. More, 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 bigger, bigger, bigger. And the problem with that is, when we're obsessed with getting more, we end up being obsessed with having to pay for it. When we're obsessed with getting more, we become obsessed with paying for what we already have. And our whole lives become a life full of worry. Worrying over getting more, worrying over paying for what we've already gotten. You see, the Bible teaches that great possessions can bring great distress, that riches can be deceitful, that riches can be uncertain. Riches, possessions, things, shiny things are uncertain, but God is a rock, God is true, God is faithful, God is unwavering. And we do so much better to just let God take care of our needs, go to the Lord with our needs, and really tamp down and reduce all of these desires. Bigger house, bigger pool, bigger shoes, bigger car, bigger, more, bigger, more. And with all of that comes worry, uncertainty, and to some, destruction. You see, some people would be better off if they were not so well off. And we've got to learn to be careful. We've got to learn to have a prayerful and prolonged examination, to take the advice that Jesus gave the rich young ruler. Some folks need to even go so far as to get rid of some possessions, if not all of their possessions except their necessities, so that they don't lose their souls. Because there's more to life than accumulating things. The man with the most toys does not win. The one who loves God and dies faithful is the one who goes to heaven. And don't let things keep you away from the Lord, mire you, surround you, cement you to worry and anxiety, so that your heart and your mind is left off of Jesus and onto worry and anxiety over things, losing things, getting more things, and paying for things. We've got to learn to study carefully what God has to say about worry. God teaches that worry is a prayer to an idol God, that worry is really an offense to God because it doubts His power, it doubts His love. Worry doubts God's presence. And if you think about fear, God teaches us we don't have to fear because God is always near. That's why David said in Psalms chapter 3, verse number 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. David was close to the Lord and he let God take care of him. The Bible uses the phrase, fear not, 63 times. And when it's in the New Testament, it's either used by Jesus, about Jesus, or by an angel. Jesus used it 7 times. One time it was used in a prophecy about him, fear not. Of the other times it's found in the New Testament, it's spoken by an angel who was sent from God to comfort one of God's children, fear not. So what does all of this mean? It means that those who know best fear the least. God wants us to put our worries aside, cast your worries aside, and rejoice in God, rejoice in His blessings. I'm going to read for you one of the greatest passages, in my opinion, in the New Testament. And that is the book of Psalms, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you always. Amen. You see, God really has an easy plan. Rejoice. Have a general, positive outlook on your life, regardless of your circumstances. I'm here to remind you this morning, you are going to heaven. Remember that God is right there beside you. He'll never forsake you. Therefore, you never have to worry. Remember always to pray, to cast your cares upon Him. Remember always to count your blessings, to ask the Lord for what you need, to enjoy the constant peace of mind that comes in through Jesus. Remember that it's your job to control your thought intake. It's your job to remember to always be faithful. Always remember that God is with you throughout your life. You can quit your worrying when you put your life directly into the hands of Jesus and let Him have the reins. God bless each and every one of you. And I'll pray for myself that I learn to conquer worry more. And I'll pray for you, each and every one of you, that we'll all learn to conquer anxiety and worry. That we won't allow the devil to use worry and anxiety to keep us away from God, to keep our hearts and our heads out of His book. We'll pray for the Lord to win over the devil, and soon heaven will be the home for each and every one of us. It's now time for us to partake of the communion of the Lord. I hope that you have your bread and your fruit of the vine with you. If you have your bread, let's take it and let's meditate upon all that Jesus has done for us. Let's meditate upon His body, His broken body. Let's meditate upon His death, His burial, His resurrection, and yes, His ascension to heaven. Let us meditate on the fact that our sins are forgiven, and because of Jesus, we're going to heaven. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this bread, for this great emblem that represents Your Son's sacrifice upon the cross. And we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to partake in the benefits of His body, even the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. The fruit of the vine is an emblem prescribed by the Lord for us upon each day of the week to remember the Lord. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Paul said, you do show the Lord's death till He come. And each first day of the week, we meditate upon the poured out blood of our Lord. He poured out His blood freely, hanging on the cross for our sins. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this fruit of the vine. We thank You for all that it represents. We thank You, Lord, for the blood of Jesus, our forgiveness because of His blood, for the benefits of His blood, heaven for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You so much for being with us today. And even though we're separated by space because of the coronavirus, in spirit, we're together. And we love each other deeply. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Amen.